Live from New York, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Maggie and Perloff on CBS Sports Radio.
And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can.
Today is the minimum of effort. Do not give up. Do not feel like you're tired. Were you tired? Think of last year and think of that f-ing record.
The Lions are pumping us up. Of all teams, the lovable losers of the NFL coming through, Perloff, with the big-time Hard Knocks soundbite. Thank you to Jamal Williams, who's given us the hype for today. It is Maggie and Perloff. We're in for Jim Rome, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM Channel 158. It is our pleasure right now to be joined by a man who is a legendary rapper and actor, founder of the Big Three, so much more than that. But if we did the whole resume, Perloff, we'd have no time left for the interview.
Absolutely.
It is the one and only Ice Cube. Cube, thanks so much for the time today. First of all, crazy news this morning that another legendary export from Compton, Serena Williams, has decided she's going to retire after the U.S. Open. Cube, first of all, how well do you know Serena, and were you shocked to hear this news?
I know Serena. She's a great person. Don't know her real well. Been a fan forever of her and her sister. She's been a great champion, great representative on all levels. And showing people, you know, it's not where you're from, it's where you at. And it's great to see her, you know, finally tell everybody, hey, you know, I'm about to put a bow on this career, and we thank her for playing.
You know, Cube, I watch a lot of Big Three, and Serena's 40, and I see the 40-year-old players, and a lot of times I'm watching, and I say to myself, why isn't this guy still in the NBA? I'm a huge Leandro Barbosa fan, and I was recently watching Michael Beasley, who looks just like he did as a rookie. He's completely cut. When you watch your league, do you ever say to yourself, boy, this guy could help an NBA team right now with some of the players?
Oh, yeah. You know, especially, you know, some of our younger players, for sure. But, you know, with our players, you know, the NBA, it's a grueling season. Mm. 82 games, a lot of travel, back-to-backs, 3 games in 4 nights. And, you know, at that level, the wear and tear gets to everybody. So when these guys come and play 3-on-3, half court, 250, once a week, I mean, they look just like they did when they were back in the NBA, because it's not so much wear and tear. They can recover, and they can actually put it all on the floor for that hour.
Do you ever talk to current NBA players who've expressed interest about someday being in the Big Three?
Oh, yeah. You know, a few different ones, you know, they'll come to me and say, when I'm done here, I'm going to play in the Big Three. So I'm like, man, please play. You know, we welcome... You know, we welcome people like Michael Beasley this year, Gerald Green, you know, some guys who just left the NBA roster, Jody Meeks. So that's what the league is for, is to keep going, is to still show them what you got. It's so you can play here and you don't have to go overseas, play in front of your fans and your family and your friends. So I think it's a dream come true for a lot of guys.
Maybe Kevin Durant next year, the way things are going in Brooklyn right now?
Yeah, that could happen.
Kevin Durant probably got at least another 5-10 years in the NBA, so we'll be looking for him one day, but not no time soon.
We should mention that the top 4 teams at the conclusion of the Big Three's regular season will bat it out at the Amalie Arena in Tampa, Florida, August 14th for the league's playoffs. From there, 2 teams move on to the 2022 championship game. Also, a celebrity game presented by Monster Energy will be held this year. You purchase tickets to the championship game, you also receive entry to the Big Three's first ever all-star game and celebrity game. Cube, I'm assuming you are playing in that, and that I imagine you're going to have a big role in the celebrity game?
I'm not playing in the celebrity game.
Aww.
I am officially retired like Serena. You know what I mean? Like, my playing days are over.
What sent you there, Cube? Because obviously legendary triple-double, but, like, what sent you into retirement? What was it?
Seeing my friends who are amateurs get pro injuries. Seeing guys pop ACLs, I mean Achilles, and tear their ACLs, and you know, I'm like, I don't want to be in a boot. You know what I mean? I'm like, you know, it's time to hang it up. So I decided to be a professional spectator.
Cube, I want to ask you, because you're such a legendary L.A. sports fan, do you consider the title that the Lakers won in the bubble and the title that the Dodgers won in the pandemic-shortened season, do you consider those real, full titles, or do you think they have, like, asterisks next to them?
They're real, and the reason they're real is because all the other teams were going for it, too. So it's not like, you know, nobody else wanted it. And everybody say, oh, Lakers, you can have it. Oh, Dodgers, go ahead. Everybody was competing to win. Everybody wanted the trophy. So they went through who they needed to go through to win. It's as legitimate as any championship that's ever been played.
Okay, now you have a former L.A. team. Now in Las Vegas, the Raiders. There's a lot of preseason hype here, Cube. Are you getting excited about Davante Adams, Derek Carr, and everybody in Vegas?
Definitely. You know, we got a great squad, especially on the offensive side of the ball. But look, the AFC West is the toughest division on paper in the NFL. So it might, you know, we might have to go through a gauntlet of talent to even try to make the playoffs. So, you know, I'm happy for the Raiders, but you know, we got to go through like a murderous row of great teams to even sniff the playoffs. So gonna have our work cut out for us.
Ice Cube is a rapper, actor. He's a film producer. Of course, he's the founder of the Big Three. If you want to see their regular season finale, it's going to battle it out. Amalie Arena in Tampa, Florida, August 14th, for the league's playoffs. From there, two teams will move on to play in the 2022 championship game. Okay, so you know the division. You know it's going to be a gauntlet, yes. But when was the last time there was, like, this much excitement about the Raiders? Like, can you remember the last time you felt this good about them going into a season?
Yeah, I mean, the year that we went to the Super Bowl and lost to the Bucks.
That was a while ago.
That felt great. That was a long time ago. But, yeah, you know, I think we have all the ingredients. No more excuses. We got the stadium we need. We got the coach we want. We got the players that we need. So now it's time to win, baby. You know, it's kind of like it's time to put the Al Davis slogan and make it a reality.
Yep, just win, baby. So, Cube, going back to the Lakers for a second, maybe this is something that you can identify with because your son has now gotten into acting and has had some success and is, you know, kind of following in your footsteps, at least in that way. We know that LeBron has said he wants to play with Bronny. Now, as a Laker fan, is that something you want to see? Do you want to see LeBron and Bronny together on the Lakers?
Sure. If Bronny is good enough, you know, that's really what it's all about. We know his father's good enough, so if he's, I don't want to see a gimmick. I want to see a legit pick. And you know, I like what Shaq's son is doing. You know, he's giving it his best shot and doing what it takes to make it to the league. So, you know, I don't want nobody to be walked into the door unless they can earn it. So if he's good enough to be a Laker, I would love to see it.
Okay, what if it's this scenario? It's either the Lakers draft Bronny or LeBron leaves. So in order to keep LeBron in the purple and gold, you have to take Bronny, whether he's earned it or not. Would you make that sacrifice to keep LeBron with the Lakers?
Yes, because, you know, the Lakers have never relied on draft picks, or rarely. You know, we're an organization who, you know, we want vets, we want winners, we want free agents to come to the Lakers. That's how we've been able to win. So I think it's the philosophy of the team. So a draft pick is not gonna hurt us, you know, whether we hit or miss on the draft picks.
But at some point you have to start over. LeBron's gonna be 38 this year. You think he can eke out one more title?
Yes, I do. I think he, you know, he has a lot left in the tank. And, you know, he makes everybody better. So I just think, you know, there'll be room for him in the next few years to still win a title if they put the right pieces around him.
Cube, can't tell you how much we appreciate this. Of course, for the Big Three, if you want tickets, you can go to big3.com/tickets. Fans in the U.S. and around the world can watch the playoffs, the All-Star Game, and the 2022 Championship Game on CBS and Paramount+. We should mention Amalie Arena in Tampa, Florida, August 14th for the league's playoffs. From there, two teams move on to play on the 2022 Championship Game, and of course, the All-Star Game and Celebrity Game. All right, Cube, appreciate it. Enjoy watching the Raiders this season. Hopefully, are we going to see you at a game, like, you know, lighting a torch or something?
Without a doubt. You know, I performed last year on the opening game, me and my man Too Short. So anything they need me to do, I'm the president of the Raider Nation, it's my duty to be there.
Well, you're faithfully executing the office of president of Raider Nation. And again, have fun. Thank you so much. We'll catch up with you soon.
All right. Take it easy, y'all.
Appreciate you.
You know, it's funny, Maggie. I was sitting around on a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
There's nothing to watch sports-wise. So I found some basketball. It was a Big Three. I was excited. I'm watching this guy. I'm like, oh, my gosh. He moves exactly like the NBA player Michael Beasley. And he's even left-handed like Beasley.
Hey,
then I hit the mute button like, Michael Beasley for two. I did not get the memo that Michael Beasley was early in the season, had joined.
Yeah.
And he looked great. You know, I remember he was a Knick. Did he have a little run of success with the Knicks, like 18 or so?
Yeah, I think it was 18 or 19. I was still allowed in the Garden back then.
Yeah.
And I remember going into the locker room and interviewing him about it, about his opportunity, and he... You know, the Knicks fans, too, they'll glom on to a fan favorite, yeah. You know, like, and he was hustling and everyone was liking him, yeah. And then the season fell apart.
What Ice Cube said was so true, though. You see Leandro Barbosa, who's 41. Yeah. He's not going to be in the NBA.
You're a huge Barbosa fan? Huge. Where did that come from?
Oh, that's my sixth man on a Western Conference contender in the 2000s. That's right up my alley. All okay. I watch is Hardwood Classics on NBA. I watch... You know, I watched last night Charles Barkley's Suns take on David Robinson's Spurs in the 93 Western Conference Finals. I shut off my phone, told the wife that you cannot disturb me for the next hour and a half. And I've been getting in a lot of trouble on Twitter. It's still lasting because I said the 90s athletes in basketball were just as good as today's NBA athletes. I think they were taking PEDs. I'm sorry. They were gigantic.
Whoa, wildly speculating.
No, that's not
here.
Wildly. First of all, it was the era of McGuire and Sosa. There was no testing. They're so much bigger. They're so much stronger because yeah. The game was different back then. And they're incredibly talented because I'm only watching the Hardwood Classics, which is like the finals.
Yeah,
and
they're not giving you any of the Tuesday night
I didn't
Milwaukee
see
games.
A
yeah.
Random Milwaukee Blazers game. But it's been a lot of fun. And I love what he said, though.
Wait a minute. Hold on, yeah. Though. Let's stop on something. Yeah. Let's just say we're just wild yeah. Speculating,
yes.
Right? Say that those athletes in the 90s in the NBA were taking PEDs. We don't yeah. Talk about basketball ever having a steroid era.
Yeah.
But let's just say, for argument's sake, does that mean they were actually better athletes than today, or they were just doing drugs?
Well, how do you define athleticism? Because they were definitely bigger. That they were more muscular.
They're, right, right, right.
No one's going to argue that.
Looked a little... Chet Holmgren would have gotten drafted back. Although maybe.
Maybe. There were skinny guys throughout the history.
There were skinny guys.
But there's no Karl Malones or Anthony Masons in today's NBA.
Maybe you're not implying those guys were taking drugs.
Okay. Is that... No, I'm not saying...
I'm just trying to cover us here.
Yeah, there's no gigantic... The game is so much less physical, of
yeah.
Course. The guys were huge. They were also fast, and they were athletic, and there were less teams.
The game wasn't fast.
The game was. It wasn't slow. I mean, the fast break is not new to the NBA.
No,
remember
the
80s Lakers? They ran twice as much as today's teams. They ran all the time.
No, the 80s Lakers, yes, Showtime. But I feel like there is more... Maybe it's because there was just the game was slower in the 90s, though.
Well,
it was a lot of half court banging down low.
You
I was watching
watch
every
Knicks
game. There was like the final score was like 74-73.
Yeah, I mean, the Bulls are on a lot. They were a very good team. I mean, that's
right.
Forget what era they played in. Yeah. I think the NFL has gotten much better from the 90s. The players are better. They're just better trained. There's a lot more. They're huge. I don't know if that's true with the NBA. And people were really mad at me. Is that a hot take?
I don't think it's a hot take. I think, no, because everyone still thinks, like, the 98 Bulls are, like, one of the all-time great. And, those Bulls teams, I think, still hold up. So I don't think it's like that. I just think the natural thought is that athletes evolve and sports evolve. So, of course, they're always getting better and better and better and better.
Right, but the level of athleticism on, if you look at the finals this year, the Warriors couldn't hold a candle to the Bulls athletically. I mean, the Bulls had Kerr, but the rest of them were incredible. You had Pippen and Jordan.
Yeah.
The Warriors are not a great athletic team. So if you're going to Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, well, I can outrun some of these guys.
But think about, well, Curry is one of the best conditioned athletes, I think, ever. He never stops. Steve Kerr has talked about that.
Conditioning and athleticism are not the same thing. No one says, ooh, look at that marathon runner. He's so athletic.
No, but we think of those types of athletes as athletic.
I definitely don't.
Do you only think that athleticism means dunking a basketball?
Athleticism is more commonly associated with power and speed and coordination being the last thing. He's so athletic. When you say a football player is athletic, you don't mean that he's a finesse player. You mean he's big and strong and fast.
I don't know. I maybe define it differently than you. Like, I do. I look at Steph Curry and I think, wow, what an incredible athlete. First of all, like, again, probably one of the most well-conditioned athletes. And that's from, like, people who are playing with him who will give him that. And I would all, like, never gets tired. And I feel like his ability to hit threes from all over the place, like, doesn't that show athleticism, or you think that's just a skill?
That's a skill, right. Vince Carter was athletic, and he's described as one of the most athletic players in NBA history because he could fly. Nobody, I think, is describing Steph Curry that way. And as far as that conditioning
thing, about, like, Tim Duncan? Is he athletic?
No, he's not very athletic. He couldn't jump over a phone book.
The disrespect.
As far as, you know, your friend Susie, who runs marathons, or half the Brooklyn half marathon, she might be the most unathletic person you know, but she runs marathons. You say, oh, well, you know what?
So
she can't throw a ball, but she can run a half marathon. No, that is the opposite of athleticism.
You don't think
that's endurance
has anything to do with athleticism?
No, because anybody can have endurance. There's no sort of God-given athleticism.
No, but the people who are great at it do it at a high level, do it at a world championship level. Not my friend who runs the half.
No, I don't think that's athleticism.
Interesting.
Do you really think?
I have a very broad sense of athleticism. If you're in your sport and you're performing it well, to me, you're an athlete. It's athleticism.
Yeah, I don't think the Jim Rome audience is going to like this either, but if there's no ball, are you really doing something athletic? Sorry, track and field.
I mean, when you look at people running hurdles at that warp speed,
you
don't think, wow, that's athletic?
Not like Vince Carter.
When they do the pole vault and they're going up like five stories and going over a little bar, that's not athletic to
you? Let me see them on the basketball court. Then I will decide.
What about baseball players just in general?
Mm.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
It is athletic to hit a base. Yeah, no, they are athletic because it takes incredible coordination. Like,
okay,
you know,
so
otherworldly coordination to hit a fastball.
So it's about coordination? Back to the hurdles.
Okay.
That's not coordination. You're at warp speed, over stuff.
Put yourself at the NFL draft time, and they describe a prospect as athletic. Do they say, oh, man, he's such an athletic defensive end. He has great endurance. No, of course not. They're just talking about size and power and speed.
Right. So that's what's athletic for that sport. You can be an athlete and also be a very athletic runner, can't you?
No. Not really.
It's just so dismissive. Like, no. Clearly not. I'm always reminded of a great line from the show Eastbound and Down.
The best show ever.
The best show ever. When Kenny Powers says to the principal or whatever, we just come back from a jog or doing a marathon or something. He goes like something like, no, I actually played a sport. I wasn't the best at exercising.
Yes, that's the line. I was trying to come up with that line. That's exactly what I was talking about.
I didn't want to give you the ammo, but it's too good. I had to say it. Appreciate Ice Cube joining us again. If you miss any part of what is the Maggie and Perloff show, of course, we're filling in for Jim Rome today. But you can find us on Twitter at Maggie and Pearl, on Instagram, Maggie and Perloff, Facebook.com/Maggie and Perloff, TikTok, Maggie and Perloff, and we have a YouTube channel, Maggie and Perloff. We have a podcast you can download. Bottom line, we've got it all. Coming up next, the chase for history is on. You got to hear who is on the verge of immortality. We'll explain next. Don't move. Maggie and Perloff in for Jim Rome today. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM Channel 158, and the free Odyssey app.
Back on the Jim Rome Show, we are Maggie and Perloff filling in. We're just putting up another social media masterpiece in the break. Are you okay? I just want to...
Why, am I breathing a little heavy?
You were breathing heavily. Maggie was doing her Edwin Diaz, the Mets closer impersonation, running in. And yeah. it was a little sloppy here. First of all, yeah, I don't even know if you could make it in from the bullpen. What was going on there? We're talking about endurance athletes.
Yeah, I know. Clearly not one of them, as I was like rushing in because I was afraid I was going to not make it back in time for the break.
Yeah.
So I wasn't jogging. That was a little more like a sprint, you know.
Yeah, have you ever thought about what, you know, a different situation, what your walk-up song would be? You must have thought of that.
Yeah, I have thought about that. I feel like... Who walks up to Jolene? Is it like Paul Goldschmidt or somebody? Ooh. Someone's got a random Jolene, which I'm always always in favor of a little Dolly Parton. No, I'd probably have like Jay-Z, Dirt Off Your Shoulder or something like
that. So I want to go totally against the grain and do a light rock.
Yeah,
like Sailing by Christopher Cross. Sailing. Or Air Supply. I'm all out of love. Just to throw the hitters off. Anybody can go with Metallica. That's easy. At this point, it's a cliche.
No, you can't even do Sandman like
no,
Mariano.
That'd be crazy. Yeah. I think you have to do something unusual like Edwin Diaz. So
yeah.
Yeah, I think that's... Jolene's pretty good, but...
No, it's Joey Votto who already does it. No, that was just a little inspiration. I gotta give a little more thought to that. I haven't thought about my walk-up music in a while, but speaking of baseball, so Aaron Judge hits another home run last night. So he's got 44 home runs this season. He's on pace for 65 home runs per loss. Mm-hmm. Now, what I think is interesting about this is like after Barry Bonds with the 73 home runs and the entire steroid era in baseball sort of took all of these numbers that were really sacred to a lot of us and basically just made them worthless. You know, they just don't mean
absolutely
anything anymore because that era is so tainted. Now, I think that Aaron Judge, though, has a chance to maybe bring this back. Like, we used to follow these home run chases that become the biggest thing in baseball.
Yeah.
And it's not just the Sosa McGuire, which obviously was huge. I remember that in my childhood, growing up in upstate New York, which is as far away from Chicago and St. Louis as humanly possible, basically, and a world away, and asking, you know, my stepdad every day, like, you know, did they hit one? Did they hit one? Like, because we didn't have the games. And so, like, getting the home run chase back into baseball, I think is something that could help it. The problem is, how is anyone going to hit 74?
No.
It's going to be impossible. Even if you don't hold Bonds up as the true record, that's what's there right now. And I think it would take Aaron Judge or someone else hitting 74 to wipe away sort of that stain of the Barry Bonds' record.
I don't think most people even know the Bonds number. It wasn't even a thing. I don't remember. The Bonds summer was a lot of fun because he would hit them into the water. But I think it's too late. I don't think it matters. I mean, Aaron Judge is a Yankee, the most popular team in the world. And nobody cares about Aaron Judge hitting 65. Even if it was Tatis or Harper, one of the most charismatic players, it wouldn't matter. If it was Ohtani, the most interesting player in the whole sport, it wouldn't matter. People do not follow home run numbers anymore. It's completely ruined. And I think you can make an argument, well, let's go after 61.
Yeah, Roger Maris.
Nobody cares. I mean, you obviously have the Sosa and McGuire seasons and you have Bonds. I think there's no way a home run thing ever becomes sort of the way it was celebrated before is not going to happen.
I guess you're right. I understand why. And baseball and, you know, whatever, there's a lot of blame we can pass around there. It depends how you feel about the steroid era. But, like, it's just a shame that we can't have a reset because look at the home run derby. Like, people are into this kind of thing. Like, there's some things that are just universally true. We love slam dunks. We love home runs. We love Hail Marys. We love these big plays. And even though it feels like there's a lot of guys home run or bust, maybe you don't love that aspect of the game, but I feel like we'd be poised for a big home run chase. And you're right. The fact that it's a New York Yankee, who, by the way, is in a contract year, who has everything on the line. The team's excellent. They just snapped their losing streak last night in Seattle. Like, this is the time where we could really use a big home run chase. And Aaron Judge would be the perfect person. But if you're not going to get to 74, to me, I don't know if it matters.
Yeah, I don't think
it does.
And
if he gets to 74, then don't you have to, like, raise an eyebrow?
That's the other thing. Will we ever trust it? I mean, I like Aaron Judge a lot. I don't know if he's the most captivating personality.
It's just his size, like, his size. Know, 6'7".
Remember he was mic'd up at the All-Star game, and him and Giancarlo Stanton were talking on the mic up. I don't know. I would put him down the list of more fascinating guys, but those pinstripes matter a lot. I'll never follow. I was burned. I was completely burned. I was right there for both of those big summers. And I remember as a kid, I could tell you, I would collect, if a guy had 30 home runs as a kid, I'm like, oh, I need that card. He's a slugger. I was all about the baseball numbers, and I've completely lost interest in it.
I don't know what other number even matters.
Well, OPS. I'm a big OPS guy.
Big OPS guy. Yeah. That's what's going to bring baseball back. The old OPS chase.
That's the other thing.
Just like Sosa Maguire, but it's OPS.
A lot of old school types hate the home run mentality of the modern sport and rail against that. And then a lot of people say those old stats are completely silly. Like RBIs mean nothing compared to the sabermetrics.
Yeah, batting average. It's flawed.
Yeah, because I think walks are obviously important. Yeah, I mean, I'm not reinventing the wheel here. I'm not educating anyone.
No, but we need something else in baseball to chase. You know, because it's such an individual sport that you don't even have to, like, have sniffed a World Series to walk into the Hall of Fame. You know, winning a World Series is not the prerequisite for being an all-time great. It's one of the sports where that doesn't actually matter for the superstars as much, right? Like, we talk about Mike Trout. Mm. We'd love to see him in October more, but everybody knows what a great player he is. Like, we need an individual chase.
Well, we had something that was completely unique in Shohei Ohtani, and that sort of took off and is still taking off. That's incredible. I mean,
it still is, but it's not like you're chasing a number. Does that matter? It's an incredible feat.
Maybe hitting 400. I know we just said batting average doesn't matter.
Yeah.
That still feels a little magical. Nothing can happen pitching-wise.
I mean, guys don't...
No hitters or perfect games might still matter.
Well,
but
perfect game and a no-hitter, I think, still matter.
But that whole idea, win-losses obviously have been de-emphasized because you can win the Cy Young with a losing record. Yeah, I don't know. Baseball just doesn't have numbers. That's a lot of things going for it, but the numbers chase is just gone.
Rich Ackerman, you're a huge baseball fan. Yeah. Give us a number that still matters in baseball.
3,000 hits.
3,000 hits.
3,000 hits. Get out of here.
There's never any pleasing you, is there?
No, but I mean, come on. In the era of sabermetrics, we care about 3,000 hits.
Well, hits still matter.
Yeah, well, if you
getting on base any way you can still matters.
Yeah, 3,000 hits is not easy.
But if you hit 323 and your on-base percentage is 342 because you never walk and you swing at everything, you're less valuable than the on-base percentage guy who's 380. So I'm sorry, hits is not the end-all to be-all.
It's still 3,000 hits. That's 200 hits a year for 15 years.
What, are you going to call that person a compiler? Probably.
I mean, listen, you know, one of the hot takes I get in the most trouble for?
The Jeter thing.
No, the Adam Dunn thing. You know the sabermetrics. You know
the one that made me laugh.
The Adam Dunn is...
Please don't do the Adam Dunn thing again. You want to?
I mean, it's not me. It's the entire sabermetric community. Adam Dunn is as valuable as Tony Gwynn in some ways.
Yeah, right.
Would you like me to go with Cal Ripken's record?
Oh, the consecutive games?
Yes.
Wow. Does anyone really care? I mean, it was A.C. Green.
Does anybody really care?
Okay.
It was a huge deal at the time. I think the question was, were there times when Cal maybe shouldn't have played because he was putting the record before the team's wins, like if he was, you know, not 100%, stuff like that. But that seems kind of lame. It was an amazing record.
Cal Ripken was really good, too. A.C. Green was the Iron Man. Wasn't he the Iron Man of the NBA?
Yeah.
And nobody on earth cared about A.C. Green's consecutive game streak. It was Cal Ripken was this sort of big, handsome shortstop star.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is the Cal Ripken number... Will we still pay as much attention to that in today's sports
world? I just don't think
world?
Load management, like, it just won't happen.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too.
It's just like, apparently, it's not great for athletes to play every single game, as we've learned.
Also, it's a more cynical age. We're after the PED era in baseball. The money is huge. I just feel like there was a romanticism about those old records that is completely gone. I'm sorry, Ack. I don't mean to. DM. Who's the next guy to get the 3,000 hits?
The next guy?
Who's somebody?
You know, I'd have to think about it.
Well, Miguel Cabrera.
I mean, he just did it.
Just did it.
Yeah. I mean, you'd like to say Mike Trout, but you don't know if he's going to stay healthy enough.
Yeah, see, it's not quite the magical number you said there, buddy.
I would say this, though.
That makes it all the more difficult. Again, 200 hits for 15 seasons, at least.
I think that there is still no other sport that lends itself to romanticism, though, than baseball. Like, we're just making a joke about how we're doing a TikTok about me being Edwin Diaz running in with his, like, closer music. Spoiler alert. Like, that makes the hair on your arm stand up. You know, there's something like, we romanticize baseball more than we do any other sport.
See, I don't think so. We were just playing a Hard Knocks clip from training camp in football, this rah-rah football thing in college football especially. There's now this like that's where the romance is now.
We were just talking about Vin Scully, though. I mean, he's legendary for romanticizing the game.
It's true, but it's a bygone era. There's new things that get romanticized now. I don't feel like that connection to baseball is the same. I don't think Cal Ripken would happen in the year 2022.
Well, it wouldn't, because a sports science person would come along and be like, you should sit on Sunday's 1 o'clock game.
But even if Cal Ripken did set that record now, do you think we would have paid as much attention? I mean, obviously wouldn't, because baseball is not as popular. But
see, that's why I think baseball needs a chase. They need something individual. I think it would help it. And especially if it's Aaron Judge in the Yankees, like someone chasing a home run record.
Yeah.
The problem is he's on pace for 65. Would he get to 74? To wipe away Bonds' record, then I think it'd be something. But
yeah,
I don't know how you'd get to there.
It'd be good too if you had, let's say, a Dodgers Yankees World Series this year.
Yeah,
I think that matters too. Who plays, like having the big franchises and brands being in the finals, that could help. I would be very interested. Dodgers Yankees. I know you want Mets Yankees, but
I don't actually want Mets Yankees.
What about a 56 game hitting streak though? That
don't. Ooh, there
yeah,
you
but
go.
No,
DiMaggio.
Oh, it's just one hit for 56 straight games.
No, because the manager would be saying, you got to take pitches. You got to walk. The great hitters, I saw a game where Bryce Harper had four walks and went 0-for-1. Is that that's a better game than hitting a bloop single like Tony Gwynn over the shortstop's head?
I'm just saying, it's not easy to get a hit in 56 straight games.
Not today, because everybody walks, but okay.
But if there was somebody who was going for 56, I don't think the manager's giving him the take sign. Yes. They're going to give him the swing away. You definitely would.
Okay.
If you get to like 20 games, I don't think there's a manager who's just going to be like, no. If you have three walks and it's your last at bat, they're going to be like, you got to take the 3-0 pitch.
Yeah, but like you said, they're going to get rest days. There's going to be all sorts of things that the team does to screw that up. So we'll see.
I love that I get painted as the cynical one. Meanwhile, I'm trying to bring baseball back, people, you know?
It's good cop, bad cop.
Yeah, constantly. <No.
laughs> Well, I like 3,000 hits. I'm going to laugh at that today.
You're going to laugh at that today.
3,000 hits, because America just was set on fire when Miguel Cabrera hit 3,000 hits. That just put baseball into another atmosphere.
It's a different type of chase. It's not, it's something, obviously, when you get there, more than anything. It's not like you look at Miguel Cabrera 5 years before and say, okay, he's going for 3,000 hits.
I think it's just an appreciation of the career, too. Yeah, that's what it was, I think, more for Cabrera. It's like, oh, yeah, let's go back and look at some of his great moments and that kind of thing. Okay, coming up, Alabama is the consensus number one team in college football, according to the coaches' poll, but which surprise program also got a vote? We'll explain next. You've been listening to On Bottom of the Hour. Time for a CBS Sports Update. Here's Rich.
Live from New York, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Maggie and Perloff on CBS Sports Radio.
It is Maggie and Perloff in for Jim. Time for the huge email of the day. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, 24/7 support, free access to product specialists and experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. This one comes from Dylan Cost, who said, I was sad Rome wasn't on, but you both are doing a great job filling in. You crack me up and have good takes.
Wow.
Look at that. This person is not related to us.
I thought there was going to be a backhanded compliment in there, but that's a flat-out straight compliment.
Just straight-up compliments that we're reading here on the Jim Rome Show as we are in for Jim today and also tomorrow. Okay, so this one was not a surprise, Perloff, that the first coaches poll came out in college. Shocker. Alabama received the most first-place votes. Ohio State, Georgia, Clemson also receiving some votes. And then keep going down the list. Scroll up, scroll up, scroll up. Boom. One coach voted for Texas. Gave him a first-place vote in the AP coaches poll, the inaugural.
Wow.
Now, I have a theory on who that person was.
Okay.
I think it might have been Saban.
or trolled Texas A&M?
Either trolled Texas A&M or just like, hey, you guys think that you're, the next cool thing on the block. I don't know if I really believe this, but, it'd be a funny move by Saban to try to, like, hey, how you guys going to do under the pressure, Texas? Because not only do you have Quinn Ewers now this year, who is a highly touted quarterback prospect, but you also have Arch Manning coming next year. If he doesn't redshirt, I would imagine Arch Manning walks on as the starter because he's Arch Manning, and just sort of keep building some of the pressure.
Yeah.
And I could see Saban doing something like that.
Yeah, Quinn Ewers got to beat Hudson Card for the job in Texas.
Yeah. Good point.
And whoever it is, should just hand off to Bijan Robinson every single play.
Yeah, friend of the
show. So you're assuming that Nick Saban is playing chess while everyone else is playing checkers. See, you
know,
always
what?
Confuse Nick Saban and Bill Belichick. I don't think Nick Saban...
Are they not the same guy, basically?
No,
one coach is college, one coach is pro?
Saban is so much less like that. He is not conspiratorial. I am sure he hasn't placed a vote in the college coaches poll in 25 years.
Well, of course, all that is distractions.
Deep down, it's like the ninth assistant in Alabama does. I'm saying he doesn't even know who they voted for.
Yeah.
So I like your theory. Apparently there is a lot of people pointing to one guy who done it. I guess an assistant from Texas went to Temple, and they think the Temple coach voted for him.
Wait a minute, I'm the crazy one because I thought Saban might have done it, and now you're talking about assistant coaches at Temple?
Yeah, no, he's the head coach now at Temple.
Oh, pardon
me. Are you kidding me? You know how much literature there is now? There's 15 Reddit threads on who actually voted for Texas, and there are all these former assistants that are out there, or former people that might have a reason to think that Texas is really good. I mean, there's
you
got
to go to message board geniuses if you're going to read college football conspiracy theories.
Oh, my God.
That's the best Twitter handle out there.
There is a take. Bijan Robinson could be a Heisman Trophy caliber running back. They're still in the Big 12, which isn't great. And what if Quinn Ewers wins a job and is the next Joe Burrow? Then, hey, the number.
If all those things fall into place, sure. What are the odds that happens?
I love Steve Sarkisian, so I would vote for them as number one. I mean, I might have taken Alabama because they're our actual dream team this year. I actually could have made that. We could have made a vote in the college. How could you not go Alabama? But I'm curious about the thinking. I love Ohio State, too.
Sorry, I said that Clemson got first place votes. Unfortunately, I'm sorry, they did not. I misread it. It was Alabama, Ohio State, and Georgia were the only three teams who received first place votes.
We could have voted for them. It doesn't seem like it's such a hard assignment.
Kind of chalky there, you know?
Yeah, whoever went for Texas, we should have that person on the show. I think they should come out and say it, because that is so gutsy to just go show off the board like that.
Yeah, they're currently the preseason rankings. They're 18th. Sure, first place vote.
Temple's Stan Drayton. Think about that
Uncle
name.
Uncle Stan.
Stan Drayton. There you go.
What else am I supposed to say about that?
Yeah.
Am I supposed to know that person?
There's another theory that Texas State's Jake Spavital, you might remember that name.
I do remember Jake Spavital.
A&M offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Also famously was a guest on one of our SI draft shows.
Oh, was he really?
Yes, with Dana Holgorsen.
Oh.
Together.
Wow. Spavital, Dana, the Texas A&M coach, Kevin Sumlin, they had a good time back in the day.
Well, actually, that was a cool PS, an interesting PS to that story. So we were doing a second screen, you know, where SI did something with the draft, and we did some things with Holgorsen and with Jake Spavital, and they were kind of breaking down guys. And from what I heard, the bill they sent Sports Illustrated after that from their stay, which I believe may have been at the Four Seasons, the tab that they ran up in terms of room service was not small.
I am not surprised. No. I once interviewed Sumlin down in College Station, and he had just gotten off him and Holgorsen had been on a fishing trip.
Okay.
And it was all guys.
At Squares.
And he said it was really fun, but he didn't want to tell me any stories about it.
You didn't get one story?
No. I did not get one story. I don't think anything too bad happened. But I guess Spavital might be mad at A&M, and to get back at them, would vote for Texas as number one. That seems like the silliest reason.
Oh, now we're just talking ourselves into circles. I think the question is Texas going to actually make a dent this year?
But because number one, though, a dent, they had a losing record last year.
I think
if they're 9-4, that's a great season. And now they have to be number one?
I don't think they have to be number one, but it'd be nice if they were challenging for a college football playoff spot. So not one, but maybe one of the top four. It's a lot to ask, but what do you think the expectation is going to be when Arch gets there?
Well, also, it depends. You know, there's two things. Texas in the Big 12 and Texas in the SEC is a completely different animal. But I don't think anybody's thinking Texas is going to go that far. I think they just need to show signs of improvement. I think you need to see Sark's offense look like it did at Alabama, and that's fine. I don't think anyone's thinking that
Yes, but I'm the one who has expectations. Yeah. Just have your offense look like it did when you were at Alabama and everyone was going in the first round of the draft. But me saying they should be challenging for a college football playoff, that's a bridge too far.
Yeah, I mean, they're not ranked, so they I don't think that's a real expectation.
Probably
for them.
Not.
Yeah.
Yes, Samter, you're shaking your head.
I just can't wait for Quinn Ewers to be a Heisman finalist, maybe even win the Heisman, dominate college football, throw an entire wrench into the Arch Manning coming to Texas next
Absolutely.
Year. Absolutely. Arch is going to be a redshirt freshman because no one can unseat Quinn Ewers. I'm telling you, this guy's going to ball out. And right now, the Big 12 is like way down. Oklahoma's not the team they used to be. Texas is going to dominate, and Quinn Ewers is going to be a Heisman finalist.
All right, okay. Ewers is 19, so I love that you're putting this expectation on him. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, he's, you know, highly recruited, a big recruit coming out of college, goes to Ohio State, and
he
then transfers.
The best high school quarterback recruit before Arch Manning in like over a decade.
Wait, but think about it. There's another storyline that I can paint for you, is that Ewers plays great, but the NCAA changes the rule so that you can transfer as many times as you want to, which they're gonna vote on allegedly at the end of the month. They already punted on it once. But then Quinn Ewers becomes a free agent.
Goes back to Ohio State.
Or whatever.
I mean, CJ Stroud will be done by then.
He's not going back to Ohio State. He never should have gone to Ohio State. You know, the only reason he went to Ohio State is because Texas does not allow NIL. So he was at South Lake Carroll. Did not.
Does now.
Yeah, did not allow NIL for high schoolers. So he couldn't get his deal for high school. So he declared a year early. He never should have been at Ohio State. He should have been at Texas to get from the get-go. I never understood this whole thing. But because of that, Mike, I'm sorry. I like Quinn Ewers. I'm into the sort of the Joe Dirt with the rifle arm thing. It seems really a stretch to think that he's going to dominate right now with C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young out there.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen a lot of guys come in. He's redshirted, so he basically had a full season to practice and do whatever he needs to do. He's going to be dominant.
I don't know.
Also, the two-time Heisman thing, I mean, there's a reason why we haven't seen it since Archie Griffin, you know?
Yeah. But Ewers, it just seems with that team that was not good last year, that seems like a stretch to me. You know, especially...
Samter's, he's carving out his lane.
Yeah, I bet
here.
You get good odds. Let's check out the odds. Put some money on. You could win something with yours. Who doesn't even have the job yet, by the way?
Coming up, things are messy in Brooklyn. Does this mean Durant is actually on his way out? We'll get to that in just a moment. And also, Albert Breer will join us to talk Aaron Rodgers. Don't move. Maggie and Perloff in for Jim today.